Today on Three Sides of the Coin, we talk about Ace Frehley's foreclosure and all of the KISS merchandise. Do you have to buy it all? Everybody, welcome to another episode of Three Sides of the Coin. I am one of your hosts, Michael Branville from michaelbranville.com. And as always, I am joined by that wildly renowned rock journalist, Mitch LaFon. And Minneapolis's number one real estate agent.
Woohoo!
Tommy Summers.
Hi, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good. Good.
Very well.
So,
very well.
As we talked about last week, we record on Tuesdays. So today, we just posted our last episode, the Paul Stanley stage wraps. So already some discussions going on that one. So be sure to check that one out and leave us your comments and submit your homework.
Right. Now, one of the comments from last week was that we needed more Mitch. So I'm all for that.
What are you going to clone yourself?
You can't have your mom posting stuff. That's just not
exactly.
Cool.
Exactly.
No. I asked her for a favor. She charged me $50 for it.
I can see that.
Anyway, so the topic on hand for today, which we hope to be able to get to, is going to be KISS merchandise. But
right.
Over the weekend, a little piece of KISS news dropped and was kind of a bomb for everybody. It was Ace Frehley's house is in foreclosure, and he hasn't paid his mortgage in 2 years, and he owes something like $20,000 in back taxes. I mean, there's not a lot we could say about that part of it because it is what
it is. It's factual.
It's factual. You know, it's information that's available to the public. So, you know, we can't debate that, but I think we definitely, between the three of us, have some opinions about this whole Ace Frehley thing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So who wants to raise their hand and start this little discussion off?
I'll go first. I mean, why not? When people, to me, and I'm talking about how I perceive it, is when people say to me, Ace and Peter should go back to KISS, well, this is the kind of thing that says to me, this is exactly why they shouldn't go back. I mean, if you can't take care of your own house, your own proper business, imagine how it is working within the KISS business. I mean, you have to be responsible. You have to get things done. You know, you got to keep your house in order. And, you know, no pun intended. And Ace just can't do it. I mean, it's not about being a musical talent. It's about taking care of the business. And he just can't do it. You know, that's my take on it.
Well, the real estate version would be, and I don't disagree with any of that, is that bottom line is over the last probably 3 or 4 years, we've seen historically low interest rates. That's just a fact. Like right now, as we're taping this, you could get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage for 3.5%. That's almost free money. It's so cheap. And to put it into perspective, when we bought our first home, we got 10.5% and we thought it was absolutely phenomenal. So that's how much it's dropped. So I'd be willing to bet you what happened is Ace hired some business manager who said, oh, no, keep your money in investments in the market and just buy the house with minimal amount down and just make payments on it. It's like, well, he should know better than that. That Ace is probably not going to do that. And why not just pay cash for the house and be done? So now he probably spent a lot of that money, or his investments are tied up where he can't get the cash out, and now he's maybe cash poor. I don't know. But there's just, to me, it's like when you make the kind of money you did on the reunion tour, why wouldn't you just pay cash and just be done?
You know, a couple things that sort of hit me about this whole thing was one, it's like, oh boy, there's Ace Frehley again. You know, maybe he hasn't been foreclosed on and not paid back taxes like this, but this is not news.
Right.
Ace Frehley's actions are not a surprise to anybody.
No.
But, and let me be really clear up front. Ace Frehley deserves all of the recognition. He deserves all of the adulation and respect for what he's done in KISS.
As a guitarist.
As part of the original KISS, fucking amazing.
Agreed.
Amazing. So let me be straight up front to these people out there. I'm not a basher. I'm not a hater. I think
No, neither am I.
Ace is crucial to this band. I don't think Ace fits in the band today. That doesn't mean I hate him. That doesn't mean I'm bashing him. I just don't think he fits.
Maybe we should send him a bumper sticker that says, honk if I'm paying your mortgage.
but so back to the mortgage thing, it's, you know, how do you not pay your mortgage for 2 years? I mean, you know, I've seen comments of, oh, you know, maybe he forgot.
That's asinine.
Wait, you know, you might forget to pay a bill once, or it might be late once, twice. You don't forget for 2 years.
No,
that's intentional. That was something was intentional of not paying for 2 years. And I don't care if it is Ace Frehley or not. That's bullshit to do that.
Yeah, but pay your bills.
To pay your bills. I have to pay my bills. You guys have to pay your bills. I mean, why? Because he's Ace Frehley, should we kind of sit here and go, oh, well, maybe he was a victim. Maybe something else was really happening behind the scenes. Listen, if something else is happening behind the scenes, and as I said at the top of the show, Tommy's a real estate agent. If you're getting yourself into hot water, you can do things to try and get yourself out. You don't just ignore
it. Oh, yeah. But banks, Michael, will work with you.
Maybe it's not hot water at all. Maybe it's just absolute ego. He said, I'm Ace Frehley. I can just get away with this.
Who knows what it could be? I mean,
he might have had a bank manager who loves Kiss, and he probably maybe was treading on somebody's good nature for a while, and then they finally said, hey, you know what? Maybe you are Ace Frehley at Kiss. We don't care anymore.
But you know, to me, I guess what came out more when this news was posted, it wasn't so much about Ace. And it wasn't so much about the bashing, because like I said, okay, great, here we go again with Ace. No biggie, really.
And we're not bashed.
And it was more of, my God, some of these fans who like to sit here and say, we drink the Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley Kool-Aid. I'm sorry, guys, but you're down on the Ace Frehley Kool-Aid more than we are.
Big time.
I will say that to anybody's face. And this is no disrespect for Ace, but you can't deny the fact that he hasn't paid his mortgage for 2 years.
True. And, you know, I work with people every day that have true hardships where it's a loss of job, medical problem, they have to move for a job. There's all kinds of different things. And I see hardship every single day, especially over the last 4 years. And the thing is that if you're facing foreclosure and you can't make a payment, you can always short sale your house. And that's a possibility. So he could also make or could have made some attempt to do something like that, and the bank will work with you because it's not in their, you know, best interest to keep that property any longer. They're in the business of lending money, not owning property. So it costs them a large amount of money to go through this full foreclosure process between attorneys and paperwork and all the other stuff that, you know, he's actually making it worse by just allowing it to go to foreclosure.
And I have no idea if this is the case with Ace's house, but Tommy, you've posted photos online when you've taken over houses that have been foreclosed, and you walk in, and the shit condition of these places.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And again, I am not saying Ace Frehley has done this. I'm just saying this is part of the reason why banks don't want to foreclose. They don't want to then own a piece of property that they have to basically, I don't know, spend $1 million to rebuild so they can even sell it to somebody.
True. And I also want to touch on the length of time. That 2 years is uncommon, but it's not unheard of. I've had short sales where people have literally been in their house for 2 years before the bank has started foreclosure proceedings against them, and that could be a variety of reasons. Anything from they maybe don't have the proper paperwork to get it started because there's a title issue, to for whatever reason that house just falls through the cracks. So I'd say it has less to do with the fact that he's a musician or someone who's famous, and more to do with just the bank's inability to get their crap together. And that's probably why it strung out for the length of time that it did.
Right, because as far as I read in the articles, Ace doesn't own it. He was bought through one of his companies or something like that. So.
Yes and no. I mean, listen, that's just shell. You know, it's transferring the ownership to somebody else.
For
tax purposes and protection. So you can go after the business, but you can't go after Ace Frehley personally.
Right.
You know, my business is an LLC. That means people can come after my business, but they can't come after me personally. They can't come after my personal assets. That's all that was. This isn't like Ace Frehley had a company that bought this for him and the business wasn't able to continue to make the payments. The business and Ace Frehley are one and the same at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Ace Frehley is the business. It's just a different legal name on a piece of paperwork that gives him some protection.
Now, you know, I do want to get to our topic of merchandising, but what about the fans that wrote, you know, on our Facebook and on other places that we need to hold a benefit for Ace in order to pay for his house?
That was the other thing I wanted to get to here was...
I found that offensive, quite frankly.
Well, you know, and there were fans who were like, you know, Gene and Paul should step up and help him out again. And what? They haven't already helped him out by bringing him back into the band a second time, and he couldn't survive out of that. It's not Gene and Paul's responsibility to save this guy's butt any more than if Mitch foreclosed on his house, would it be Gene and Paul's responsibility to save Mitch?
No.
Or me?
Absolutely
or
not.
Tommy? Listen, guys, Ace is responsible for his own actions. He don't feel sorry for him. Don't think he's a victim. Don't think
he's not.
Don't think somebody's got to take care of him.
Yeah, and if you keep bailing him out, he's never going to learn.
And what Mike just said rolls right back around to why Tommy is in the band. Ace is not the victim here. He did it to himself. And that's why he's not in the band. And that's why he doesn't have a house. And that's why his shows are half empty when he goes on tour. All of this was caused by Ace. It's not Gene's fault. It's not Paul's fault. And regardless of what Peter Criss says in his book, it's you know, it's their fault. It's nobody else's fault.
Even if Ace didn't know what was going on because a business manager didn't tell him or a contract he didn't know of, that's still ultimately his fault.
Right, because he hires the business manager. He hires the lawyer.
The buck stops with him. So,
yes. And I want to point something out too, though, and to prove the point of what Mike is just saying here, at least in Minnesota law, now it's different obviously in every state, but in Minnesota, when the bank starts the foreclosure proceedings on someone, they have what they call a sheriff's sale. At that point, the bank will buy back their interest, usually the first position bank in the property, so they have that stronghold on it. Then it goes into what they call the redemption period. In Minnesota, it lasts for 6 months. Now, during that redemption period, the owner can come back, pay all the back taxes, all the interest, and get whole again and keep the property. So if he cares about this situation, he will have the opportunity to step forward and make things right. It's not over yet because it's not fully foreclosed on.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes back to your point. The bank doesn't want to end up with a frickin' house and a piece of land. Mm-mm. They would rather have the money and get this off of their books and not worry about it.
Right.
And
at some point, when they take it, they take the liability.
Exactly, because now they've got to take care of that piece of land and that property. And oh my God, there's squatters there 6 months from now. And oh, it turns into a crack den. Well, it's their responsibility. Mm-hmm. They don't want that. So at some point in time, they're even willing to cut themselves short in the amount of monies that are owed just so they can get this out of there. Because let's be honest, and we all know this, foreclosures are all over the place. These banks have become real estate agents.
Yeah, and that's why they're agreeing to short sales, because they would rather take, you know, a 20% loss on their money than a 50% loss, because that's what they say typically is that if they do a short sale, they're going to recover 75 to 85% of what is owed to them. This is the first, not a second mortgage. And if they go through full foreclosure, it's closer to 50 to 55%. So that's a considerable difference in money, especially when you're talking about a house that's $750,000.
Right. So I mean, here's what it comes down to. You know, hey, it sucks to have your house foreclosed on. But if you did it to yourself and you didn't do anything for 2 years, I don't feel sorry for Ace. I don't feel sorry for anybody who does that.
Mm-hmm. To themselves.
Stop making this guy out to be the victim. Stop making him out to be that he deserves somebody to come in and swoop in and take care of it. If that's the case, you guys as the fans, I'll tell you what. I bet you could email John Ostrowski or whoever his assistant is and get an address and send a check to Ace. If you really want to do it, you send a check to him if you care.
I just want to and I'll just clarify what Mike said. I feel the same way. If you did it to yourself, that's tough luck. Now, if you've got a cancer, if you've got some kind of disease, and then, you know, you're out of work, that's a whole different story. But that's not Ace's case. He's able-bodied. He could go work. He could put a concert tour on next week and get the money if he really wanted to. Right?
Well, that's a whole nother discussion.
Right, but the point being is that he's able-bodied. He doesn't have leukemia, and he's stuck in a bed.
Exactly.
Somebody who has that and is getting foreclosed on, yeah, I have sympathy for it because it's not their fault. But from all appearances, this is Ace's fault.
Well, and that's nobody else's. And that's a good point, Mitch. And I also want to say, too, that because I deal with this literally every day, most of the people, if not all the ones that I can think of off the top of my head over the last 3 or 4 years, which is 30-plus short sales, they all had true hardships and they had problems. One thing or another, everyone's different. Even sometimes a divorce is a hardship because if your spouse leaves you and you're not making enough money, you can't stay in the home and they're not going to help you at all, you're stuck. But either way, most people are proactive enough to at least make a phone call and try to either A, deal with the banks themselves, which isn't always the best thing, or they'll list the house and try and short sale it. So he's got options. And I agree with you. And that's why we're talking about this, because if there's someone who's actually dumb enough to say we need to put on a benefit for Ace to help him pay his house, what the hell's wrong with you?
Put on benefits. You know what? Gene and Paul need to bring him back in the band. Gene and Paul should give him some money. It's just sort of like, why?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Why? How many times do you keep going back and enabling somebody who does this to themselves?
Well, that's the word. And by the way, Tommy, I'm doing this KISS tribute for a cancer hospice up here in Montreal, and I had posted about it, and somebody answered back and said, oh, forget about the cancer hospice. We need to do a benefit for Ace. He's losing his house. And so that's where I was particularly offended, that somebody replied to my post about the charity thing I'm involved in, and said, and they were absolutely serious. I wrote back. I said, you got to be kidding. They said, no. Ace has been special in my life. We need to save his house. And I'm like,
then do it yourself. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's my take. Do it yourself. Don't expect somebody else.
It was definitely offensive. In the context that it came out in, it was especially offensive.
Well, and what you're doing, Mitch, I think is, by the way, I want to just go on record and say, Mitch has told me about all this in detail. I think this is so cool to be able to get involved. I have a good friend, John, here in town that owns a salon called Hi-Fi Hair. So if you're ever in Minneapolis, go visit. It's a total rock and roll thing. He looks like Ronnie Wood. He'll take care of you. But John works with breast cancer patients, and he cuts wigs for them, and they do benefits and all that. This is along the same line. People who have these diseases really, truly need our help. Ace's disease is, laziness.
Yeah. So, let's wrap this up. The last thing I just want to say is, just because we may come on and post this information or talk about it or somebody else doesn't mean we bash and hate Ace.
No, I love him. No, he's an original member of KISS. He was my favorite member. This is something totally different.
This is completely different. This isn't out and out bashing and hating him. If you don't like us talking about the reality that just happened, then you got to tune out, because guess what? The reality is all around us. This is not hate. This is not bashing. I'm not going to gush love blindly to any member of KISS. I'm not going to gush love blindly to the band itself. I will say what I like. I will say what I don't like. I still, at the end of the day, love the band members, and everything they've done and contributed.
By the way, since we're not gushing, and people accuse us sometimes of being on Gene and Paul's side, maybe we should bring up the fact that Gene Simmons leaked some tour dates this year and had to take him down immediately. I mean, what are our thoughts on that?
I think that's, to me, that was just typical Gene.
Right. But you're bashing Gene now, Mike.
Well, no, terrible. I know, yeah. Well, but no. But the point is, we never bash Gene, or we never bash Paul. That's what we hear. But the reality is, listen, we just did an episode about Paul Stanley's stage raps. We've talked about Paul Stanley's voice. We've talked about Gene losing his demon character.
Gene made a mistake by leaking those dates on his website.
Yeah, I mean, I go back I don't know, it was a year and a half ago. He's got his record label, Simmons Records, out of Canada. And there's a band called Cobra and the Lotus, which is now signed to Simmons Records. But, I don't know, about 18 months ago, he made a tweet that announced and congratulated Cobra and the Lotus for being signed to Simmons Records.
Right.
And it got picked up by all of the metal news that, hey, Cobra and the Lotus got signed. Cool. Well, within like 2 days, he retracted that. Basically, he went in and actually deleted the tweet and then came out and posted, well, don't believe what you read online. Those people don't know what they're talking about because he announced it too soon.
Right.
And he does that. But at the end of the day, it happened. Listen, those Kiss dates, for what, why he posted them, I don't know. He did. Was he trying to undermine Kiss or Live Nation? I doubt it. Listen, Gene's got a million things on his plates. He probably got the dates. Somebody might have said, hey, these are confirmed. And he just said, great, I'm going to post them.
Well, he had probably shipped them off to his guy and
well,
said, okay.
Well, he shipped it off to his web mistress and said, here's these dates, post them. That's what it came down to. He's right. Not looking at it going, oh, wait a second, some of those dates don't make sense. There's two shows. There's not a city list, whatever. Listen, it's just typical Gene. If you're any sort of a Kiss fan, you know that over the last 40 years, Gene likes to talk a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is nothing more than him talking a lot in advance before he should have been saying something. So the
and he likes to position himself in front of the game.
Yeah, he wants to be the one that's knowing it, that's breaking it. That's fine. But listen.
This is why you need to go to Polestar to find out what your concert
well,
dates are.
Well, you know, actually, this is why. Seriously.
Well,
until Kiss Sorry. Online posts them.
Right.
I mean, you know, Gene is not Kiss. Gene is a member of Kiss. Kiss is not going to post the dates until it is 100% approved and ready to go. That doesn't mean the dates that your promoter friends know about and that other people are talking about aren't going to happen. It's just they're not 100% confirmed. I lived in this for years when I was running Kiss Online. You would have spreadsheets going back and forth for 2 months with all of these tour dates. And as it got closer and closer to the announcement, it's like, okay, these are all confirmed. Monday at 8 a.m., we can all release them. Even though ticket on sales have been announced a week earlier for somebody else and promoters have got ads in papers, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist until the band announces them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I did check with some of my promoter friends that I know up here and they confirmed that those dates for them were in the works, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I told you, Mitch, those dates, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, 98 or 99% of them stick as they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, a month ago, there would have been a lot of holes, there would have been a lot of changes, multiple dates left open for second shows. At this point in time, you're pretty much set in stone. Now it's just the final contract, coordinating to make sure a PR is press release is ready to go and that everybody talk, you know, you want to make an announcement.
Right.
You want to make an event.
And having it just appear on a website is not an announcement.
Yeah.
That's sort of backwards, you know, backing into it. And that's not a great way to make a splash. It's not very PR-ish, but hey. So listen, we spent 5 minutes saying that Gene made a mistake. Yeah. So well, there is all of that in that. You know, you got to get the T-shirts printed. You got to get the tickets printed. You got to get the sponsor on board, you know, whatever. Coca-Cola presents Kiss, or actually Pepsi, I guess. You got to get all that together. It's a lot of work. People don't understand that, right? They think that a tour is, you show up and say, hey, I'm playing Montreal tomorrow.
There's a lot of coordination that goes on between a lot of different companies and a lot of different people.
Yeah,
And things can change at the last minute.
And listen, we're only end of February, and there are tours for 2014 being put together today.
Oh, of course.
That's how far in advance it is, and it's quite a complicated business.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, we're not bashers, we're not haters, we're not Kool-Aid drinkers. What I like about us is we're a bunch of Kiss fans that aren't afraid to say when we don't like something. And that doesn't mean we hate it with a passion. It just means we don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, well, and I want to clear up. I get accused of being a Peter Criss basher every day. I think Peter is absolutely essential to Kiss and the Kiss sound. He's just not useful in 2013 for Kiss. It's like having Nolan Ryan pitch for the Astros in 2013.
Kiss
not going to do us any good.
Kiss has changed. Kiss has you know, morphed, whatever you want to describe it as, Kiss today is not the same as Kiss in 1977. And you can't keep it in like it was in 1977.
But you also need to be able to compartmentalize things, because I like the band. Makeup, non-makeup, there's all these different factions of the band that I really, really like. And it's the look, it's the music, it's the whole package. But I've never watched Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. Because it doesn't interest me. But it doesn't interest me. So it doesn't mean that I'm less of a fan than someone else. But to me, that part of it, I just don't care about that.
Well, so let's use that as a segue into merchandising.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean,
we're at half an hour. Do we want to save it for another time, or do we go for it?
I think we could.
Merchandising could be another half hour.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. So we've got, you know, compartmentalizing is a good word. I mean, merchandising, I've been a fan since 1976.
Right.
And for me, merchandising has always been a part of KISS ever since I discovered KISS. It has not been there. Now, if you were a fan in 73, 74, 75, I could see that being different.
Yeah.
76 post Alive is when things really started to happen. So mm-hmm. It's always been a part of the band for me. So it's not a shock that KISS is about merchandising.
To me, it started with the booklet and Alive.
Yeah. The booklets. All
that was the first thing.
Yeah. So it shouldn't shock any fan that KISS is about merchandise.
No.
But you don't have to like the merchandise to like the band.
Well, I would think a lot of fans...
You can ignore it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans became fans because of the merchandise. They saw the t-shirts, they saw the, you know, the cool posters, and then they said, what is this band? I think, you know, this is a case of merch first, band second for a lot of the fans. I don't think people went, well, I heard this great song in the radio, and I think it's a band, KISS. I think they saw Gene's face on a magazine and went, oh, what is that? Let me go look into it. So I think the merchandise made the band, and not the band made the merchandise, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because actually the first thing I can remember about them was hearing the version of Rock and Roll All Night on the radio that was not the live version, but the album version off Address to Kill. And I asked for that as a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. And I've got a brother who's 10 years older than me who, you know, we just do not get along when it comes to music. He likes Bob Dylan, and I'm just like, why? But that's a discussion for another day. But I remember asking for that album, and his response to me was the same one that when I asked for Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, well, you only know one song on it. Why would you want that? And I'm like, because they look cool and I like the song. What do you, you know, what more do you want than that?
Right. I'm a kid. That's what it is.
Yeah, so he buys me a Fleetwood Mac record, and I'm going, you got it, kid.
So I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, you know, KISS puts too much into merchandising now. They're all about merchandising. I think it's really a very simple answer. You don't have to buy it.
No.
You don't have to acknowledge it. It doesn't have to be part of your life, the merchandising.
Yeah.
If all you like is the music or the shows, that's fine. Nobody is expecting you to buy every piece of trinket, trash, and t-shirt and everything else that comes out.
But what I'd like to know from your perspective, being in the music business, both of you, is when do you think that the band changed from a, and I don't mean just KISS, just in general with music, it changed from being a rock and roll band to being in a brand?
MTV. MTV made every band a brand.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of MTV.
So all they were doing was, they were just ahead of the curve. Because there are so many bands that wish they could be them. Yeah. They wish they could be them. So I don't have an issue with the merchandise, but I'm not going to buy Hello Kitty Kiss or whatever that crap is that they're selling.
I tell this story a lot. So when I was working at Sony Signatures, which did the merchandising for KISS and hundreds of other bands. I won't name the band, but it was a very big international artist who basically had said, and this was related to doing like the VIP ticketing programs, they would love to do that. They'd love to get the money from that. But is there a way that it can be done so the fans don't think they want the money from that?
Oh, I remember this story.
Does that make sense? So it's sort of like, you know,
it sounds like you too.
They want what KISS is doing. They want their name everywhere. They want the money. They want the license. They want all that. But they don't want people to think they're greedy and they want money.
Right. They want to make it look like the local promoter is selling this package and not them.
And that's one of the things that I've always admired about KISS is they just lay it right out there. We got no problem with money. We got no problem putting our names on just about everything. You want a casket? Great. If there's demand for caskets, we're going to make them and we're going to do them. If somebody wants to sell it, awesome. So they don't play that game of, oh, you know, how do we do this without looking like we're have no integrity and we're not interested in money. It's never been that. I mean, Gene has always just laid the cards out on the table about KISS,
which is very honest. And like Mike was saying, you know, I have my preferences for merchandise. I'll buy the albums, which is merchandise. I'll buy the T-shirts, and then I showed you the little toys that I have here. But those I didn't buy because I wanted them. My kids, you know, they like these little toys, so I bought it for them. But other than that, family jewels, casket, monster book. Could care less about it.
If it works for you or somebody else, that's great. Because I'm like Mitch. You know, there's certain things I used to, like, through 70s, 80s, into the 90s, I used to try and get everything I could with KISS. Everything.
Because it wasn't that much.
It wasn't much, but even into, you know, the reunion tour, you know, I was trying to get everything. You wanted everything.
Right.
It's only within the last, I don't know, 5 to 8 years or so, I've said, you know what, I don't need it all anymore. I don't want every little trinket and keychain and button and sticker. And, you know, if there's something that comes out that's cool that I want, the last thing I bought, the KISS Pez. I saw that, and I'm like, that's freaking cool. That looks nice. I want.
But also, I think it also the merchandise has changed as society has changed, too. And I think it has a lot to do with your age group, because I would much rather have a magazine. I still love the magazine and the photos and all that type of stuff over other things, whereas maybe some of the younger fans now, because they have the opportunity to buy whatever it might be, I think that affects it as well.
Well, and I think that's what's great about it is they've got something that is going to appeal to every fan.
Right.
Not every fan has to buy everything, but they've got everything out there so every fan can find what they like.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a sucker for the bloody greatest hits and all those different versions, Japanese bonus. I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Mitch is. Me, I could care less about that.
See?
I could care less about every little different version of the same song. But, you know, here's what it comes down to. I think for me, and this is what it should be for most people, is a couple things. One, you vote with your wallet. I've said this so many times. And this is in general, life in general. If you don't like something, you don't buy it.
Right.
That should be our tagline. Vote with your wallet.
Vote with your wallet. I mean, that's just the way, you know, supply and demand works. If there's no demand, the supply is going to disappear.
Well, it's going to dry up. And you know, that's the same thing with the Monster Book. You know, we've talked about it, but there's no point in bashing it. I'm just not going to give you $4,000 for some paper.
Well,
and
so
it's not.
So the Monster Book leads.
But you
into
can
my,
finance it.
Leads into my, well, my second point.
The financing is where I found a little objectionable. But the book itself, so what?
Well, so I was going to use the book as an example of my second point. So after voting with your wallet, if you're going to buy something, we all buy stuff that we feel has got value to us personally. You buy the bonus tracks and all that stuff because that's got value to you. So if you look at something and go, Monster Book, $4,000, here's what it is, here's what it's made of, here's what's included in it, that's a value to me, then do it. I don't really have a problem with the $4,000 price, because not every car is priced the same, not every plane ticket is priced the same, not every house is priced the same. You know, some people can afford more and some people can afford less. That's life. It's not fair.
No. But, I agree. I have no problem with the price, but you're not getting it from me.
But for me, I looked at the book and said, I don't see the value. For me personally, I mean, the book. First of all, it's 4 feet tall. Seriously, how the fuck do you sit down and read that? And where do you keep a book that large? Kistory, as big as Kistory was, is even it's a bit of a pain to read sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's because the binding keeps breaking. And
but then, you know, not that we've seen every photo inside of Monster, but we've seen a number of them. There's nothing in there where I'm like, oh, my God, these are the most amazing, unearthed, never-before-seen photos of Kiss. That's not the case for me. I looked at it, I'm like, wow, it's just another live photo of Tommy. Oh, it's another live photo of Paul. You know, great.
Yeah, I would have preferred a book where all they had was all of the studio outtakes for all of the sessions. So every shot from the Hotter Than Hell album cover and the back cover, stuff like that that we've never seen, not more live shots. They all kind of look the same.
Yeah, I mean, after a point, you're right. It's Paul live. Great. He's doing one of his six trademarked poses. There's fire. There's a logo. Okay, you know, you've got 10 different tours. Cool. Do I need that? I don't. Now, maybe some other fan finds that book of a great value. Great. So be it. If you've got the money and you find it's a value, go for it. But it wasn't to me. I think, personally, I just think more than anything, the book is just pointless from the fact of it's a 4-foot-tall book. Mm. What the fuck do you do with that?
And I've never met anyone that owns one. I would love to hear from somebody post that has one to tell us, what do you like about it and where was the value for you? Why did you buy one? You know, I'd love to hear from someone who owns one.
Well, I got to imagine that since they said there's only going to be 1,000 of them made and that now they were starting to push them again on Kiss Online and that they turned on financing, as Mitch brought up, they have not sold many of these at all.
Which is a shame.
Not at all. So
speaking of picture books, you know, I've had a chance to shoot Kiss a bunch of times in my life. I made my own book that I did up through iPhoto and iMac, and that one had value to me because those were pictures that I know nobody else in this world has. There's only one copy in existence. I don't own it anymore because Gene asked for it, but it had a lot of that. See, that book meant more to me than a $4,000 book of pictures that other people took.
You know, on the topic of books,
he got it.
Here's how. You
know, my only copy.
Yeah, you should have made him a duplicate or something. Come on, Mitchie, you got to keep
Mitch
that
can
stuff.
Just reprint it again.
I actually can't because when I printed it up, I got rid of all those pictures from my system so that it would be a unique book. And then when Gene asked for it, I ended up screwing myself out of it, but it's okay. I'm happy with it. That's fine.
You know, I don't know if we had mentioned this in our first episode where we talked about books. Unique. But one of the things about Kiss books that I know right now I would put the money down to buy is if they took all of their books, Kistory, Kistory 2, the comic books, any official Kiss publication that they've done, tour books, and turned them into digital ebooks. I would rebuy every single one of them again. So I can have them on my iPad and I can look at it at my convenience. I did that with Lydia Chris's book, Sealed with a Kiss. I bought the physical book, great book, and I don't know, 6 months, a year ago, she released an ebook version of it.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
I spent, I don't know, what was it, $25, $40 again to get the ebook version. So I've got the entire book on my iPad.
That's cool.
And it's super convenient. I mean, that's what, you know, I would do that all over again with every Kiss publication. I'd probably spend $150 for Kistory all over again if I could get a digital version of it.
See, yeah. That's a great idea. You just gave them a money-making idea right there.
All they got to do is take all the film, scan it in, sell it all over again.
Yeah,
why not? I mean, that's
what a compendium of tour books.
I mean, imagine that. All the tour books digitally.
Yeah,
all
or even
virtually.
That'd be awesome.
All bound in one big compendium, one big sort of encyclopedia Kiss tour books.
It just, you know, the merchandising comes down to value to each of us. That's all it is, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the price because you determine personally if that price is value.
Yeah,
you know, your wallet.
The argument that you know, $4,000 book isn't fair because nobody can afford it. Sorry, that's not an argument. A $1,000 meet and greet, not fair because we can't all afford it. That's not a valid argument.
No.
It isn't. I mean,
And if no one would pay for it, the prices would come down.
The prices would come down. I mean, listen, I sold those. I came up with that idea when they first started them. If nobody had bought them, we were doing 25 a show. If nobody had bought them, we would have rethought it very quickly. But absolutely, the fact that every single show, 25 of those VIP packages sold out within 5 minutes of going on sale, what, you know, that's the concept of America, supply and demand.
Well, you did rethink it. You said, no, do we charge them more?
No, it started at 1,000. That's
right. But when it sells out so fast, you go, well, if we can get it that fast, maybe we should.
But part of it was I looked at it from the fan's standpoint of going, is it a value? I mean, I in my mind could justify a value of $1,000.
Right.
Could you?
So what did they say when you first said that to them?
Doc loved the idea. I mean, the original proposal that I sent over was a meet and greet out of makeup. Because prior to this, Kiss never did meet and greets at shows. You know, they kind of got into the, after the show, they got out of makeup and they left. Before the show, they arrived at the venue, got into makeup, and then got on stage. So I was like, they're not going to have time to do this in makeup. So we'll do a meet and greet with them out of makeup. We'll do it for $500. And Doc came back and said, I'll make them do it in makeup, and let's charge $1,000. I said, if you can get it in makeup, it's worth $1,000.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, here's how I put together the value. Because right at, you know, this is coming off of the reunion tour and all their big tours, fans were paying $500 to $750 to a scalper to get a front row ticket.
Yeah.
With nothing else. So I'm like, all right, if we can guarantee you a front row ticket and we'll get you a meet and greet and a photo, professional photo, not some stupid Instamatic photo, autographs, T-shirt, guitar picks. I'm like, you start adding that up in your head. Yeah, that's worth $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. You know, could we have sold it for $100 to make it fair for everybody? Yeah. But we still could have only sold 25 per show.
Right.
We couldn't have done 100 of them per show. There was only room to do 25 per show. That's what it comes down to. Supply and demand, people. So a $4,000 book, yeah, that's awfully expensive. Some people can afford it, some can't. I can't afford to drive a Jaguar. Some people
can. So I don't.
I don't.
But also, too, it goes beyond being able to afford it or not. It's also a conscious choice that you don't see the value in it, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Because there are some people who can afford a $4,000 book and choose not to purchase it simply because they don't see the value in it.
Right.
Well, that's like Family Jewels. I can afford to buy a Family Jewels DVD, you know, season 7 or whatever. I just don't care to because it has no value to me.
Right.
Because I know it's a scripted show. I know it, you know, it's just the way it goes. So what's your favorite piece of merch then?
Tommy?
Oh, can I go with stuff that's not? Well, I'm going to say my favorite piece of merchandise is promo stuff.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Sure.
Like the favorite thing that I have is, well, actually I don't have it right now, but I'm going to get it from a friend of mine, is I'm going to reacquire the Love Gun standee.
Cool.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, that, now see, to me, but that's my era. That's, I remember getting that the first time, and, you know, that to me is, I'd say that's my favorite piece of merchandise, other than I have a poster of all of the original signatures on it that I got myself. So those are the two things.
Okay.
You know, for me, I got to say, it's not necessarily merchandise, but it's the RIAA awards. That's
awesome.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know you had any of those. I've got a Kiss Symphony, a Kiss box set, and a Kiss Psycho Circus presented to me. So
now, see, that cool. is cool
to,
as hell.
To me, that and the laminates, especially the very first laminate I ever got,
mm-hmm.
that has got more importance to me than everything else that I've collected. Yeah. Now, if you're talking just merchandise that any person could get, you know, I think some of the cooler things were lunchboxes, the originals, and even the reissues that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Kissopoly, I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I have that.
Let's see.
I throw in the original Mego dolls just because at the time I thought they were kind of corny, but now when you look back on it from a nostalgia view, I think those are still kind of cool.
But I have those original, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of with Tommy. Oh, you know, I would say promo record store posters. So, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, when you had record stores and albums were coming out, you know, the record store would get display material to put up to promote an album. And I don't know when it was, but I quickly realized, well, I'm going to go ask the record store to give me those posters when they come down. And I've gotten so many of those. And that, to me, that is the coolest stuff, because it's cool because not everybody's got it.
Right.
True.
Yeah, you know, true. And then for me, listen, I don't have one favorite. I got a bunch. I mean, all the different KISS t-shirts I have, I like.
Let me say to you this way, everybody can get. Okay, but, so since you've got, let me ask you one question then. So since you have so many things that you like, your house is on fire.
And what do you save?
Five things. What five things do you save?
Oh, I save the stuff that's going to be hard to replace. So the KISS Chikara CD, that greatest hits put out in Japan years ago that doesn't exist anymore. That's coming with me. Okay. You know, the, when was it, 2008 or 2009, they did the Live 35 box set of all the recordings of the summer shows. Cost $1,000. That one has value to me, and that's irreplaceable. But
that's in a road case with wheels on it, right?
It's in it. Well, it's right here on the counter. But it's in a road case. There's no wheels on it, but that's got to come because, first of all, it was bloody expensive.
Well, put some wheels on it, Mitch, because then what you can do is put other KISS collectibles on it and push it all out.
And push it all out. Yeah, so that's got to come. So what I'm saying is the stuff that's irreplaceable is coming with me because that you can't get that anymore. And then I don't know if you count it as merch, but when I first interviewed Gene Simmons, June 9th, 1980, he gave me Unmasked. And it had a gold stamp on it that said radio, you know, record company property, a promotional copy. So it's gold stamped, and it's signed. That's got to come with me.
See,
absolutely,
that's
irreplaceable.
I think what, you know, what I'm hearing is favorite items are items that have personal meaning to you guys.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I got the latest Hot Topics t-shirt. Whooping fucking deal. You know,
I might take him.
You know, it's an item that has some meaning to you because of where you were, how you acquired it, what was going on at the time. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. And that's what's great about all their merchandise is I think everybody's got something like that.
Right. It creates a connection with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, so, and that goes back to the ticketing that you're talking about for $1,000 to meet and greet. People who don't work in the business don't have chance to meet KISS. They pay $1,000. They meet their heroes. That has an incredible value to them.
Oh, and you know, that was one of the biggest reasons I thought this would go over so well is, you know, I've gone backstage from working at radio stations and in the industry and stuff like that. And I've seen prior to these professional meet and greets, what a meet and greet used to be at a show. And it was, the inside joke was, oh, here come the contest losers.
Right.
You know, here are the people that after the show, the security says, go sit over there for 30 minutes.
And which then, turns into 2 hours.
And then it turns into 2 hours. And one of two things is either going to happen. They're going to come out and say, oh, we're sorry, the band left. Now you guys got to leave. Or they're going to say, come follow us, go sit down in a catering room. And what happens? The band walks out, not the entire band, maybe two guys.
One guy. The guy who pulled the shortest straw that night.
Exactly. Walks out and spends 10 minutes with a group of 50 people. And the reality is he ends up spending 10 minutes with probably three people who know him.
Right.
So the rest of you kind of sit there and go, oh, my God, that's so-and-so over there. You know, I've seen that, and that sucks. And, well, and you only get that if you had a connection to even get one of those sticky passes.
I want to add something that's off topic here because I think it's important. At least it is to me. I saw LA Guns on Saturday night with my buddy Will, and I have to tell you that was one of the five best rock shows I've seen in the last God knows how many years. And what was really cool is at the end they said, "Hey, we're going to do a meet and greet for anyone that wants to stick around." And so all four of them came out, and you could buy an 8x10.
Fans of the band. All four fans or all four band members?
Hey, it was packed. They were good.
Shame. I love LA Guns.
I know. Yeah, they were wonderful. But anyways, all four of them came out, and you could buy a black and white 8.5 by 11 promo for $5, or you could buy a T-shirt or one of their DVDs. Everything was very, very affordable and reasonably priced, and they stayed there and signed for everybody. And I thought, that is what rock bands need to be doing. In fact, I gave him your name, Mitch. I said, you guys need, or Michael, I'm sorry, Michael. I said, you need some help with your online stuff.
You know, and many bands, that is what it's come down to, is they go out to their merch stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. But when you've got bands of the caliber of Kiss, they're not going out to the merch stand. Oh, obviously.
No. I understand that.
So it was important to be able to put together a real quality meet and greet that actually surpasses the meet and greets that they give to the people who happen to get passes anyway.
Right.
So, and I have seen a lot of these professional meet and greets backstage, and I will to this day say Kiss does it better than anybody else I've seen. I have seen bands who have screwed over fans who paid half the money Kiss charges, but the experience totally sucked because one band member refused to show up, one band member refuses to take pictures, one band member refuses to shake hands. You know, they don't want to be there.
Yeah, no, listen, we can criticize Kiss for a lot of things, but I've seen these also, and the Kiss one is probably number one of all the ones I've seen because they also throw in a little performance for you.
Yeah, now they added that acoustic performance.
I mean, thumbs up, they win for that. And the only other one that's comparable would be Metallica, but when you look at Bon Jovi, Megadeth, all the other ones, they're just grabbing your money from your pocket and kicking you out the door with the other, you know, with the other hand.
Well, so many of them are not even doing meet and greets as part of it.
Right. I mean, you know, Bon Jovi, they have this
$700, you know, you can buy the seat you sat in. What the fuck do I want to buy
a stadium chair,
seat?
You get to bring the chair. Yeah, no. No. Well, Kiss for this, they're the leader.
Yes.
Was Kiss the first one to do this? Weren't they? Really?
They were the first big one to do this. I will say that we experimented just before Kiss with Sammy Hagar. We did about 10 shows with Sammy Hagar to see how we could make this whole concept even work and function doing meet and greets and backstage. And then when we saw that, this was working with Sammy. Now, Sammy wasn't selling 100% of them, but it was a great experience. We came back and we're like, okay, tickets became available for me through management for Kiss. And they're like, what do you want to do with them? And I'm like, hold on to them. We put this program together. It literally, I think I got presented to Doc, approved, and put on sale within like 7 to 10 days. Was the whole concept for them. And
what year was that?
It was the
I'm trying to think when that
World
started.
World Domination Tour.
Yeah, 2003.
With Aerosmith, 2003.
Okay.
2003. And you know what? They've done that. There's no complaints. It's been a decade, and they really, I've seen a million of them. Nobody does it better. No, Metallica's a close second, but Kiss is.
And again, I'm not kissing Gene's ass. They just do it right. I have seen many bands do this. I've gone for the Motley Crue ones. I've seen Yes. I've seen many bands do them. Kiss goes above and beyond. The one story I tell a lot of people is one of the very first ones they did was at the Jones Beach Amphitheater out in New York. And at the time, it was owned by Tommy Hilfiger. So we were backstage. The fans were there. And Tommy comes in with his family. And Gene says, wait a second, Tommy, you guys got to wait because I'm doing my meet and greet with my fans right now. These guys paid. This is their time. So, I mean, Gene tells Tommy Hilfiger, you got to go out. The guy who owns the venue, you got to go wait outside in another room. I don't want to ruin the time for my fans right now.
Yep, that's awesome.
So, I mean,
I fully agree.
Yeah, I mean, they totally are committed to it. You know, listen. Are there going to be hiccups? There's always going to be a hiccup.
Sure. Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they have a headache. Sometimes the venue is giving them problems. They give value.
Too bad they didn't start that in '96.
Oh, Dude,
yeah.
You know, they could have charged $2,000 back in 96.
Not more.
Yeah.
The only reason why Kiss is better than Metallica is because they do the little acoustic set. That puts it over the top. I mean, you're giving them songs that they're never going to play on the big stage, and you're right there in your face, and you can tape it, and you can save that forever. I mean, who doesn't want an exclusive acoustic five-song set of Kiss on your iPhone or video camera forever? I mean, that's worth the price of admission.
So right, so let's wrap this up. So when it comes to merchandising, I think it's sort of, listen, you don't have to take part in it. That's what it comes down to. You don't have to buy this merchandise. You don't have to like it. That doesn't mean you hate the band because they released the merchandise. Buy what you like, support what you like, and don't bitch about something and then go buy it. Because the second you bought it, that's your thumbs up that you liked it, even if you're saying something differently.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree.
And as for homework, what if we ask people what is their personal favorite piece of merchandise?
Yeah,
and
why? Like, you know, what's the connection?
Exactly. What's the connection to you? Why is that T-shirt so important?
Your favorite, or that knickknack, or whatever.
Yeah, let us know what piece of merchandise. If you've got pictures of them, post the picture, especially if it's cool stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Even if it's not cool stuff, I still want to see the picture.
Oh yeah, we love seeing pictures. I mean, somebody was just posting pictures of a broken Paul Stanley guitar from 1976. Did you see those pictures that were posted?
I haven't looked.
Yeah,
been too busy.
Somebody was at a show up in Canada in '76 and got Paul's broken guitar.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when you talk about a broken guitar, my first reaction is, why do I want a broken guitar? But then I'm the guy here who has a little foam mic thing that Gene had blood on at a show in Los Angeles that I've kept for
17. Listen, I got one of those.
But you don't have a blood cup.
And you know,
no.
here, I'll wrap up with a real funny story. So when I was working with Kiss, this was during the farewell tour. I've been going to all of these shows, seeing all of the shows, but I never really watched a show because I was always working. And they were coming to Sacramento, and I got on the phone and I said, "Hey, Tommy, I'm coming up to the show, but I'm not working." And normally I wouldn't get tickets because I don't need tickets. I go, "But I want front row center tickets because I want to take in a Kiss show." And they gave me front row tickets for the show, and I got a foam mic. And I got Ace Frehley's towel that he wiped his face on. And afterwards, I don't know if Tommy had told me this or Ace or somebody had made a comment of that, there I am, front row center, just rocking out at a Kiss concert. And they just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. That here's this guy who's working and running all this stuff, but tonight he's down there like the crazy other fans that are out there.
That's
so,
a great
you know,
story.
It is those, you know, I don't know where it is. I've got a foam mic thing. I've got a blood cup.
With the blood?
I got a blood cup only because I think Gooch gave me one.
Did you keep a whole pile of confetti, too, somewhere in a cup somewhere?
No confetti.
In a plastic baggie?
No confetti. Yeah. I've got every ticket stub. You know,
yeah, I
got
to find mine. I don't know where mine are.
I've got newspaper ads. If there were newspaper ads for the show I went to, I would cut those out and save those things. It's the personal connection.
Yep. You know, I should post some of that stuff that I have photos of, like the really early ads for some of the early albums. There's some really cool stuff that maybe people haven't seen.
I love that kind
of
stuff.
That's, of course,
I've got a
assuming
book full
Facebook
of that.
Lets us post pictures these days.
Yeah,
but
Mitch is having Facebook hell problems.
Oh,
Facebook's
really?
Facebook's not letting me. Anything that's on one of our, like, dropping the needle, or like a band page or whatever page, I cannot post pictures. On my personal page, it lets me post all day long, but something's blocking on the other pages. It just the wheel just keeps spinning. So, I don't know.
That's very strange.
I don't know. No, that's Gene. He got in touch with Facebook and said, "Don't let this Mitch guy post anything."
Funny, because I was trying to post a Gene picture.
He's a basher. He hates us.
No,
no, he does not. He doesn't like Vinnie Vincent. And
I have a realistic perspective of Kiss in 2013. That's what I have.
Okay, there
it's
you go.
True.
You just keep saying that.
He says that every night when he goes to bed.
Long live Vinny.
Long live Vinny. All right, guys.
Good night, all.
You got your homework. Post photos and what your favorite piece of Kiss merchandise is. And as always, you can go to our new website, ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.com is a brand new website now. It doesn't redirect you to Facebook. So you can find all of the episodes nicely displayed there. You can leave comments on there if you want. Of course, you got the Facebook page, Three Sides of the Coin. And we've got a Twitter account, Three Sides Coin. Three Sides Coin.
And you can also go to YouTube and type in Michael Brandvold, and up comes Michael's page, and you can find it there. Plus, you can see the Dropping the Needle and all the other webcasts. That,
yeah, so we want your comments. Just leave them anywhere. I mean, I had somebody who was like, well, should we start leaving comments on the website as opposed to Facebook? Wherever you guys want. We don't care. Yeah. I mean,
we're looking at all three, and we'll answer.
I'm checking them all. We're seeing them all. But we now have a website that's probably going to have more info on other stuff as we add stuff to it. But leave comments. We love to hear what you think. And listen, we don't hate KISS. We don't hate individual band members. We're just three guys who have an opinion. And we realize it's not going to be the same opinion as yours, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is, but...
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't.
All right, let's say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Take care, everyone.
Bye.